Hey friends, Peyton Jones here, joining you once again on our journey in John chapter 1, part 2, where we get to meet Jesus for the first time and also meet some people who also met Jesus. Have you ever been around someone who gives off an awe-inspiring presence and you can't quite put your finger on it? There are certain people we meet in life who have what psychologists call a magnetic personality. You don't know why you feel what you feel, but you suddenly feel out of your depth, like they're giving something off, but somehow they make you feel a little in awe of them. Some people get this feeling when they meet someone famous, but we're not talking about fame today. We're talking about the feeling you get when you actually meet someone and they slightly unnerve you and you don't know why. Well, today we'll encounter six different people who met Jesus and were in awe of him. They weren't struck by his fame because he wasn't famous yet. Besides, this is bigger than fame. They were struck by who he was, the Messiah. John picks up in chapter 1, verse 14, where we left off, and I'd like you to follow along with me as we read. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. In those few short words, John takes us from the epic creator of the universe who created space, time, and matter and puts him in a human body. This is the transition verse from the first part of John, chapter 1, where Jesus is the epic creator of the universe, to now being a guy who for the rest of the chapter is going to walk around meeting people. The Word, the Eternal One himself, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, there's a cool word picture here. John uses the word dwelt as if God were camping out, pitching a tent among us. In the Old Testament, God famously met with Moses in a tent known as the Tent of Meeting. That's because God's glory or radiance was too bright for people to handle. Looking at God would be like looking directly into a million suns, and it would kill you dead. So God met inside of a tent and covered his glory so he could meet with us and it wouldn't kill us. This is what John is saying here about Jesus taking on flesh. That's why John continues in verse 14, we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. It's like John saying his glory may have had a tent of flesh over it, but he still couldn't hide who he was. To understand how powerful this is, let's remember the design of the tabernacle or the tent where Moses met with God. Do you remember how God told Moses to design it? Well, from the outside, it was covered with the skins of animals. But on the inside, it was a tent made up of three different colors of cords woven together. Red cords, blue cords, and purple cords. Why those three colors? Well, let me ask you. When you think of the skin and those three different colored cords, what does that remind you of? Well, as an RN and paramedic, I've done a lot of human anatomy, and I can tell you what the inside of a human body looks like. Oxygenated blood vessels are red, unoxygenated blood vessels are blue, and mixed vessels are purple. Doesn't that kind of sound like a human body? Three colors of cords like our arteries and veins, and then all your veins and arteries are covered over with skin to hide it. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here's a kicker. For God to be able to meet with people, he had to first deal with their sins. And to do that, they'd sacrifice an innocent lamb at the tent of meeting outside of it, who is a symbol of someone innocent dying in their place and absorbing the judgment of God to take away their sins so God could meet with people face to face. And that brings us to John the Baptist, our first person in this chapter who beholds Jesus' glory and calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Look with me at verse 19 to 34. The wind is blowing across the Jordan, and out past the reeds waist deep, John the Baptist pauses in awe as he sees Jesus approaching. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Skip ahead to verse 32. Then John gave this testimony, "I saw the Spirit of God come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" John the Baptist says, "I didn't know him. His glory was covered with flesh." In other words, Jesus seemed to be like anyone else John baptized. But now John the Baptist identifies and testifies, "This is God's chosen one. John saw his glory. We beheld his glory." But like one preacher said, John the Baptist's job had been to announce the way, point the way, and get out of the way. And John's going to get out of the way, but first he points the way to two other of his disciples who start following Jesus instead. Those two are John and Andrew, the next to see Jesus' glory. Let's read about it in verse 35. "The next day, Jesus was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, John said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?'" What a question. It seems to put him on the spot a bit. "What do you want?" Now, I've been starstruck by meeting a few famous people before. There was a time I was in London. I turned around and noticed the actor who played Ross on Friends, David Schwimmer, walked right past me. And in that moment, I didn't really know what to do. I'm embarrassed to say, I just started following him involuntarily for about 60 seconds. My legs were working, but my brain was frozen. I was in awe, and I followed him like an idiot. And when Jesus turns and asks the disciples, "What do you want?" they seem to be like deer caught in the headlights. I don't know why they answered, Lord, where are you staying?" Perhaps they just blurted it out. Or maybe they wanted to have more of a conversation and find out more, and we're like, "Lord, we can't talk here about things. Could we go somewhere else?" If Jesus suddenly asked you today, "What do you want? What are you seeking?" what would you say? Perhaps you're asking yourself this deeper question today. And like the disciples, you're following behind Jesus by being here, trying to see what he's about, listening to what other people like John the Baptist say about him. Not sure what all this Lamb of God stuff is all about, but still intrigued. If that's you, be encouraged. Jesus has these brief encounters with people, but then makes himself available. Look at verse 39. "Come and see," he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. I love the little eyewitness details like this. "It was 4 p.m. that let you know this actually happened. Somebody actually really experienced it. This is John's story. So from there, we see Jesus calls Simon and gives him a new name, Peter. Then, in verse 43, we meet the final two disciples in this chapter that behold Jesus' glory. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." Did you notice that word "found" again? "We have found the Messiah." And then, finding Philip. And then, Philip found Nathanael. John likes the word "found" here. Everybody here thinks they found Jesus. But who's finding who, really, in these passages? Verse 47. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Nathanael shocked that Jesus, although they've never met, knows who he is. Back to meeting famous people. What would you do if the next time you met a famous person, or like I'm one of your biggest fans, and they said, "Peyton, is that you? I follow you on Instagram." You'd feel shocked like Philip here. Like, "How do you know me? Why did you even take the time to find out who I was?" Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus tells him, you will see greater things than that. And friends, we will too, as we keep reading, and we keep beholding his glory, that though it's veiled in flesh, just can't be hidden.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.